The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your O, RG Ochoa. He is your 75, the one, the only, Mr. Two-time Super Bowl champion, Tony Casillas. Tony, happy Monday to you, my friend.
Happy Monday to you, as always. It's great to talk to you. Great weekend, and great to be here and do another 750 version this week.
It was a great weekend, actually. I'm going to be honest with you, Tony. I'm on fire lately in terms of watching movies that I've never seen before, and I knocked another one out of the park. On Saturday night, the fiance and I, we watched Creed. I had never seen the first one, and it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I loved the Rocky movies, obviously, and I know I'm like 2 years late on this, but I really enjoyed it, and I'm really pumped to watch Creed 2.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was really good. Michael B. Jordan, yep. The other Michael Jordan, and did an excellent job, and I thought the storyline was great because you can only... You know, Rocky can only fight for so long, and then after a while, I mean, I don't think you can pull him out of the wheelchair. But I thought it was a great, well written, and I thought it was a tremendous movie. I was just kind of relatively surprised when I watched it, but I'm glad you got a chance to check it out. I haven't seen number two, but I hear it's supposed to be pretty good also.
Do you know the plot of the second one, just the main story?
Yeah, I think it's going back to Drago. His son is fighting Apollo Creed's son, I believe. That's kind of the reenactment of it.
And so I didn't know that. So I watched the trailer after the first one, and I thought, and again, I know I'm really late to this, but I thought this is an amazing idea. You know, they literally just took like a whole wave of movies and said, let's just have all their kids. Let's just do it. So I really thought that was really cool. So I enjoyed that. Did you watch the NBA All-Star game?
Yeah, I watched the NBA All-Star game. I watched the skills competition, the three-point contest, and slam dunk, which I thought was pretty entertaining. Yeah. I watched some of the All-Star game, but just a smidge, because that was in between. I got onto another Netflix, Narcos, week.
Oh, okay.
So my mind was wrapped around that. Yeah, and it's actually Narcos in Mexico, but... I like the three-point contest. The slam dunk was great. But I think was it Team LeBron? They had like 35 three-pointers in the game. It was just crazy. It was a good game.
I'm not fond of calling them Team LeBron and Team Giannis. I liked the whole Team USA, Team World, the few nights before. I like the format. I like the draft. We got to come up with some better team names. I would feel like if I was Russell Westbrook, I would feel like, what? I'm Team Russ. You know what I mean? Like, I would just feel ridiculous. But
well, it's LeBron James, and we know LeBron. He's, King James, and we know how he's, I think, that for lack of better words, had to be front and center. But, I thought it was the three-point contest was great. I was hoping for the old dude, Dirk Nowitzki, to win a three-point contest, but just didn't have it. His last one.
He had that one air ball, and it was kind of like, but it was still awesome.
It was good. It was nice to watch. So, you know what? The thing about the All-Star game, I will say this, is it's a lot more entertaining than watching the NFL Pro Bowl, because it's all about shooting, and, there's no defense and slams, dunks, and all that. And it got a little bit competitive, but, as I just mentioned, 35 three-pointers for Team LeBron, and it was just this all out shootout.
No, I'm with you. I mean, I know that this is not exactly, you know, I'm not the first person to say this, but I would watch the heck out of if they had the Pro Bowl quarterbacks do some sort of, you know, skills challenge, you know, moving targets like they used to. I mean, those were great. The NFL's fastest man competition was always great. I would, you know, the obstacle course sort of things are what makes it. Have you ever been to an All-Star game? I went to one Saturday night.
I actually went to the one that was actually here in AT&T Stadium. I believe that was 3 or 4 years ago, and that was pretty entertaining. I don't know. I think for me, the skills competition when they actually had that a leg of it actually was at American Airlines Center.
Right.
So it was a little different than going to the stadium, you know, where just they look like ants. It depends on where you're at. Just not a very good place to watch a basketball game.
Sure.
I think it's interesting. You know, for me, it's always living vicariously through those guys that are able to touch their, you know, their head on top of the backboard and just stuff that I just can't relate to.
Yeah.
And the athleticism and everything. But I find it entertaining. And you know, that's the thing about it. You know, you can't really emulate football because it's the physicality and everything. And people, you know, guys don't want to,
sure.
It's the last thing they want to do is physically get hit, especially that part of this, you know, when the season's over. So it's a little bit more entertaining and it's all show, but I find that more intriguing with the, like I said, with the skills competition.
Did you watch any of the Genesis Open? I mean, it was a pretty stacked weekend.
I did. On Saturday, I believe that I saw Tiger. He was 5 under after 4 holes. And
everybody pumped. Yeah.
And so there's a buzz around. But I watched that. It's a beautiful venue. I mean, the Riviera Country Club is, and you know, you and I, we love golf. And so I'm kind of a golf nerd. So, It was fun to watch. I mean, J.B. Holmes ultimately ended up winning the tournament.
I think J.B.'s still putting. I mean, goodness. I mean, dude took forever.
I know. He is a slow player, isn't he?
Yeah, well, they timed him. At one point, he took 1:19 to putt.
That'd drive me crazy. I mean, seriously. I play my little game, you know, with my buddies, and I'm like, look, you know, he'll play ready golf.
I was so excited to record today because we hadn't recorded since the Matt Kuchar news came out. And I know, again, we're going to get into football at some point. You know, that's just the way we roll. But what did you think of Kuch and the caddy situation? Because Kuch is one of the tour's, you know, most upstanding guys. I was kind of shocked when I read about it. I was like, Kuch? No way. Like, I didn't believe it at first.
You would think he's like he's a fan favorite because everyone, you know, during the tournament, it's like every time he makes a putt or does Kuch, and now I think it's cheap because cheap because of just what happened. You know, the whole deal, and you know, our listeners are not familiar with it. He wins a tournament, the Sony Open, and basically his caddy was not available that weekend, so he hires a fill-in caddy.
Right.
And I guess made a deal with him for $5,000.
Yeah.
Well, he ends up winning it, right?
Yeah.
He ends up winning the tournament at one point.
He had the deal like, you know, I'll pay you this just to do it. If I finish top 10, you know, I'll throw in another $1,000. But you're right. Then he won it, and it was just a whole different level.
And I thought about this because we talked about this. I did this other media, this show, and we're talking about that whole deal, and I'm thinking, you know, for me, I like to, when I go into a place and, you know, I have dinner, I try to pay at least 20%. I mean, it's a tough job, but you know, the whole standard, I guess, in the industry of golf as a caddy, 10% is kind of the norm, right?
Totally.
And maybe they had this agreement. He's going to pay this fill-in caddy $5,000, and he ends up winning $1.2 million, and all the backlash, and you know, Kuchar, because he only paid him $5,000, and should have paid him more. And then he went back to him and said, "Hey, look, I'll pay you $15,000." And the other, the fill-in caddy said, "Nah, I don't want your money." So it made him look really bad. Look, I think if you it was like this, I was telling someone that it would be like me going and having a $500 tab. There's like 8 or 9 people and paying the waiter $5.
Yeah, no.
Look at it that way. And I don't, he probably, he deserves it because look, you know, you won $1.2 million and you know, just give the guy, I mean, $50,000 or something. Maybe give him 5% of what you won. But certainly he, I don't know if he deserved it because they seemed like they had some type of an agreement. But you know what? You got to do the right thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, Cooch was playing the whole, hey, we had a deal. You know, the deal was $5,000. That deal's a deal. And it's like, dude, I mean, let's be real, you know. And like I was talking about this with my dad, and you know, not to, you know, paint any golfer in a bad light, but if Smiley Kaufman did this, you know, young kid, hasn't been on tour that long, certainly doesn't have as much you know, wealth built up as Cooch does, you know, hasn't been there, you know what I mean? We're talking about Cooch is a guy who's made a lot of money on the PGA Tour, who certainly has experienced golf at the highest levels and the highest levels of integrity. I mean, you know, if anyone should have known instinctively what the right thing to do was here, I mean, you know, if you had told me that and said, okay, dude, RJ, who are five guys that you would bet would have done the right thing? He would have been in that list. You know what I mean? It was a really weird little thing to pop up on a random February day.
Yeah, it is. I think it was probably... I mean, I'm sure it had to be somewhat of a distraction. He's always got that face on. But, you know, it just seems like guys like that are the ones that you find out aren't the most pleasant. Right. You know, they have this fan base persona, and then behind that, it's like they can be probably the biggest jerks, you know. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think that was probably a jerk move. And look, $5,000, I'm sure the guy was agreement, but – I don't know. I'm sure he had to, what, he just carry his bag? Or, I mean, he must have helped him carry, you know, reach some of the greens. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that's just part of the whole industry. You know, you pay the guy whatever you would have paid your other caddy.
Well, I tell you what, Tony, when I caddy for you in the PGA Championship and you win it, we'll figure something out that makes sense for everybody.
At least pay you 2%.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I'm saying. I don't even need that. Just let me keep the bag. That's all I really
give
want.
Give you some crumbs.
I'm good with that. So it was a really weird weekend for sports. The San Antonio Commanders put up a fight, Tony. And they lost. Your boy Troy was in the building. He did the ceremonial ball placement because there's no kickoffs, so they make a big old deal about the first person that puts the ball down before the first snap. So Troy was there. He was hanging out with Moose in the suite. So it felt like the whole gang was getting together. I don't know why you weren't there.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't invited. Maybe you can invite me down. Maybe next. Yeah. You told me they were on the road for the next four games, so maybe that. In 5 weeks, maybe I can be your guest.
We'll figure it
out.
So
it's almost like the face-off, and they dropped a puck, right?
Kind of. yeah, that's a good way of putting it. that is a great way.
Just drop the football.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys, they had a lot of history together. I know they're still friends, and you know, I think Moose is, you know, hopefully is enjoying his opportunity to, you know, be part of a football franchise, GM, and I'm sure Troy, I mean, he's good about supporting his former teammates, and as I mentioned, the friends, so good for him.
Sure. So Tony Moose, you know this, obviously played fullback for you guys when you guys thought you were super cool because you won Super Bowls and whatever, like that means something, you know, whatever.
You know, ain't no thought in that. And when you win, you're cool.
Exactly. and so that kind of steers us where I wanted to talk about, or what I want to talk about today. I'm working on writing something for the site about all of the trades that the Cowboys pulled off over the last year, 2018 offseason, and obviously the Mari trade. And their first trade, Tony, actually was for a fullback. Keith Smith left the team in free agency, went to the Oakland Raiders to join up with Rich Bisaccia, who joined John Gruden's staff. And then the Cowboys, Tony, they said, okay, man, we lost our fullback. What are we going to do? Ours is playing for the Raiders now. Let's call the Raiders up and let's trade for one. And the Cowboys traded a fifth-round draft pick for Jahmyr Olawale, and a sixth-round draft pick. So if you had to grade that, A, B, C, D, if you want to go all the way down to S, I mean, you know, I'm not going to stop you, but what would you grade that trade? I mean, super sexy, I know, getting fullbacks involved here.
Well, and it's, you know, I think that they want to bring him in here to help protect and, you know, run some lead plays and get him more in the offense. I think the only really play I remember is him dropping that would-be touchdown pass and kind of short-armed it. But I guess when you look at, you know, what they gave up and what they got, I guess it was kind of a wash. I don't really remember him. I mean, maybe on special teams he made a contribution, but vividly I really don't remember what he did this year, which really would validate that. Or I guess you could say something negative against the trade, but there's not really substance there. So I don't know. I guess I'd give him a C because the guy is a contributor. He's when he's in there. I mean, he's there for a purpose, different opportunities and big people formation. I can't criticize it, but I can't say, hey, it was this great trade that the Cowboys made.
Sure. I think for anyone listening, C sounds harsh, but C is technically average, right? Like C is technically an average grade. And so
kind of used to what I was doing when I was in college.
Well, no, that stood for Casillas. That's what it stood for. And so I think I would give the trade a C+. And I haven't fully written everything out. So if you're listening to this and then you read the article on the site, the grades might be a little bit different just after a little bit more evaluation. But at first glance, I think I'd give it a C+, Tony, for a few reasons. One, because I think that, and it's about more than who Olawale is, but, landing a fullback or landing him specifically sort of, felt like ankle weights for the Cowboys offense, just because they were so, intent on doing things their way. And I feel like that move is a little bit emblematic of just that overall disposition. There's that piece of it. There's the drop, to your point. That's kind of the only thing you remember, which certainly kind of sucks. But I'll give it a plus because – so the Cowboys sent that fifth-round draft pick, and they got Olawale in return, and they got a sixth-round draft pick. That sixth-round draft pick was pick 192 overall. And, I'm great at this, Tony. I know. That's our segue. That pick, 192 overall, is what the Cowboys sent to the Los Angeles Rams to get Tavon Austin. So that's why I'll give it a plus because
– Yeah, that was creative. Yeah.
Yeah. They turned that one pick, that one fifth-round draft pick, essentially into Olawale and Tavon. And I think that that's kind of
cool. Great strategy. It's great business what they did, and they were able to get Tavon Austin. And like I said, I think that they had to have someone to – play fullback in certain instances and protect, and if they run leads with whatever the running back or Ezekiel Elliott, he's a and when he was in Oakland, and he relatively started off slow, but was played well enough to really gain some confidence in other teams. So I think you brought up a good point. They were able to use that sixth round draft pick to go and trade it for Tavon Austin, and that's what brought Tavon Austin here.
Well, so then what do you think of that trade in retrospect? Tavon missed some time, and Tavon, he had the big touchdown against the Giants very early on in the season, and then he had, the little pitch touchdown in Seattle. Outside of that, he had a couple of nice moments. He had the return touchdown also against Seattle in the playoff game that was called back due to penalty. I think that Tavon was kind of like it was kind of like the onion strings. Like, when you get a steak and you get the onion strings on top of it or underneath it. Recently, by the way, Tony, I ate my entire steak with a bite of onion strings. Like, I recently tried that move. And
it's not bad.
It wasn't bad. I kind of liked it. And so, because typically.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say you put ketchup on it or something.
God, no.
Go there. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But so, because typically, you avoid it. But I was feeling kind of squirrely. I said, I'm going to try it. But he's the onion strings that's sometimes it's in the way. Sometimes you're in the mood for it. It can enhance the overall meal, whatever.
Add some flavor.
Exactly. And Tavon added that. Not on a consistent basis by any means, but he was at the very least an option. So grade the Tavon trade.
See, that's why I'm going to go higher with Tavon, because I think there's more upside with him. He's more of a threat. You can utilize him. He's more versatile. You can do a lot of different things with him. And what he had, eight receptions this year for 120 yards and, two touchdowns? Probably not. And you look at those stats, and biggest reason why is he wasn't on the field. But I will give the Cowboys, I will give a B on that. And what? When you gave up a six-round draft pick. Come on. It's not.
Right.
Unless you look back and you look at the Tom Brady era when they draft him in the sixth round or you get some extraordinary pick like that, then it'd be a lot different. But, yeah, for relatively, you got him for really nothing. And you got a six round, gave away a six round draft pick. And as you just said, you were able to kind of package that deal with Olawale. So I would give him a B on that because of the two things I just mentioned. It's a collective rating on his play this year, and hopefully next year you can get him on the field and maybe he can be a bit more of an impact. But I'm going to go maybe C plus, B minus.
Yeah, I think that's the right range. And mostly these first trades that we're discussing are obviously of lower degrees. You know, these aren't the biggest moves by any means, but they were trades that the Cowboys made. And I what I loved about Tavon, and this was obvious early on, even at training camp, he really became a leader for the Cowboys. I mean, they obviously did not have Dez Bryant in the lead up to the season, and so they really needed that kind of veteran sort of guy who'd, who'd been there before. And Tavon was a first round draft pick, and so he had this kind of star value to him in some respect. And you know, we saw, I mean, the Cowboys receivers were very close, him and Allen Hurns and Michael Gallup. They were really tight, you know, and I think that was beneficial. And so I think that that's certainly very valuable. You know, I think the only thing that hurts Tavon really in my mind is, and it's not his fault, kind of like with Olawale, Tavon gave the Cowboys an excuse, I think. An excuse to say, well, we don't have to go get whoever. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do that because we got Tavon. You know, I mean, he became their kind of just their, you know, their rug to sweep things under. You know, we'll be fine. We're just going to do this. We're going to be fine with Tavon Austin. And it didn't really work out. I'll say, just because I'm feeling a little generous, B minus, because he did provide options. He did provide a different way to think at the very least, which was interesting. And because, like you said, I mean, not only was it just a six-round draft pick, but it was a six-round pick that you picked up off the Olawale trade. So, I mean, you know, it kind of works out in that way. And so Tavon came in. So we've got a C overall kind of grade for the Olawale trade and B minus, C plus for Tavon. But Tavon came in, Tony, and he not only replaced Ryan Switzer in terms of taking his job, he literally took his jersey. I mean, literally wore number 10, and it was kind of you know, bold move. But hey, you know, you do you, Tavon. And that was when they traded for Tavon. In the moment, everybody said, okay, well, what are they going to do with Ryan Switzer? Then, bam, they traded away Ryan Switzer. That was just sort of a one-for-one. They traded Ryan Switzer during the draft for Jahad Ward, who wound up not making the team. How do you feel about that trade in retrospect, especially considering that the Cowboys could be moving on from Cole Beasley this offseason? They might not have Tavon back either. Ryan Switzer could have been nice to have on the team right now.
Yeah, I think so. But Jahad Ward is basically like a bag of potato chips. That's kind of what you know, the trade-off was. And, you know, Ryan Switzer, I don't know. You know, I think it was kind of quick to judge him because we really didn't get to see any glimpse of what he, you know, did when he was, I believe, what, at Kentucky? Is that where he went?
North Carolina.
North Carolina, sorry. It's I don't know why I was thinking that. I'm thinking basketball.
Similar colors. You
know. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Kentucky, playing basketball.
North Carolina. Yeah, so I don't know why it was the basketball on my mind. But the North Carolina, I mean, they really didn't get to see the you know, that version of it, because he's a young player, and I think that they really wanted to see someone, and they had Cole Beasley, was a more of a slot receiver, and then Tavon Austin, I think for me, he was more, you know, he could you know kick returns, punt returns, and they could use him, and he's very fast, and kind of use specialize him in different situations, and so I think that's really what the trade-off was. And I don't think they really thought Ryan Switzer, the way things were set, and you know, the receiver situation, that it may be good for to get an older player that had some experience and bring him in here and just kind of add to what they had. So, you know, this trade right here, I mean, I it was, you know, they just threw Ward in there just to throw him in there, which didn't have any relevancy. And if, you know, if he hit, he hit, but not, you know, he wasn't able to, so be it. But they got the guy they wanted.
I feel a little bit more harshly, I think. I'm going to give this trade, you know, the grade that I'm going to hand out, I'm going to give it an F. And you're right. They certainly loved Jahad Ward for a long time. We've known that forever. But, you know, and we're doing these grades, obviously.
But, I mean, if you're basing it off that, the you know, what you got, Jahad Ward, you know, in exchange for Ryan Switzer, if you're looking at it that way, without a doubt. I mean, you got to give it a low D or, like you said, an F grade.
Well, and so what it reminds me of, kind of, is in 2016, when Darren McFadden came back from the elbow injury, the Cowboys cut Darius Jackson instead of Lance Dunbar. And everybody thought that was ridiculous because Dunbar was on an expiring contract and Darius Jackson was on a rookie deal at the time. And so the thought was, you're cutting this guy that you could keep next year when you lose Dunbar, you know, whatever. And you know, that is actually a really funny example because Darius Jackson ultimately is now back with the Cowboys. But, you know, whatever. This kind of feels the same in that, you know, it felt like a really short-sighted move, and it obviously looks that way now. And we're doing all this with the benefit of hindsight. But now you're in a position, if you're the Cowboys, where Cole Beasley's maybe not going to be back. Tavon Austin's maybe not going to be back. Slot receiver is near the very top of the Cowboys' needs this offseason. You could have had that guy. I mean, you had him a year ago, you know, and you, I mean, you know, your problems are solved there if you've got Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and Ryan Switzer, and that's your, you know, your trio to get down with.
Yeah, you know what? I'd agree with you, though, that, but you already have too many of those type of players. You already had Cole Beasley, Ryan Switzer, and I don't think it's really kind of hard to justify keeping both of those guys, especially if you can get Tavon Austin relatively cheap.
Sure. And, you know, and but that's why the whole, you know, the whole, they created their own logjam. I mean, it was a self-induced error because you're right. They had Cole Beasley on the team. And so that's the starting point. Then they draft Ryan Switzer. Okay, well, maybe Ryan is the heir apparent. Okay, that's interesting. And then they traded for Tavon Austin. And so, you know, Tavon is kind of the Darren McFadden here, where he was interesting and, you know, had a nice cup of coffee with the team maybe.
Right.
But, you know, why did you do that? You know, I mean, and I know we just gave the Tavon trade, you know, a B- or a C+, but that's looking at that in a vacuum. But the overall situation was kind of just weird that they created. And you're right. I mean, it didn't make sense to have three players like that, but that was a problem that they generated. And so right now, I think, you know, you're looking back saying, and it's funny because Ryan Switzer isn't even on the Raiders anymore, got traded to the Steelers. Mm-hmm. I mean, but think about it. The Steelers found a way to use him, you know, and that's a really creative offense, really, you know, they certainly have their own problems.
Do they?
But, you know, they realize that Ryan Switzer has talent, and he would be nice to have around. And the whole thing obviously is worsened by the fact that, you know, if you got Jahad Warren, he became this great defensive tackle for you. Not even great, but just moderately good. Then, okay, cool, you got something out of it. But you threw Ryan Switzer away for nothing. And that's why I give it an F.
Well, you know, look, and I guess I agree with you, and you're looking at it that way. But the common sense and the theory of this is to try to, you know, with what they had to give up and to trade for, just really didn't cost them much. And I think that you're kind of looking at, well, you're looking at, as you mentioned, if Jahad Ward, if that would have worked out and been a very a contributor, like, wow, this is the hell of a deal. So I think we look too much at that. Mm-hmm. But I think the thing about it, again, is you collectively see what type of players already have on there. You know, I don't think Ryan Switzer, I mean, I just don't, it's kind of hard to speculate what type of player he's going to be. I mean, sure. I think, you know, he went on to Pittsburgh and contributed there. And as you mentioned, you know, it's like a firestorm going there. Antonio Brown, you read, you know, Twitter and everything else is just, it's just in this, it's a lot of drama. But I think that, I think when you look at a slot receiver and, you know, I don't know how you'll react to this. I think you find slot receivers all over the place. I mean, they're not this rare breed that you see. I mean, there's some certain players in the National Football League, but I think you can compromise for a slot receiver. And we said this year, you know, once they traded for Amari Cooper, then that slot receiver just kind of vanished because all of a sudden they had more playmakers.
That's fair. I mean, that's certainly fair. It's not the hardest role to find.
But I agree with you. It wasn't the best out of the trades, and we're going to look at the Amari Cooper trade. It wasn't the best one.
Yeah, it was just a mess. I mean, it was just disorganized, and it was a problem that they created, and then they had to fix it, you know. So that's all I'm saying. You know, a year ago at this time, Ryan Switzer and Cole Beasley are both on the team. Then they added Tavon, and now, you know, we're looking at a potential team that might not have any of them and then needs a slot receiver, you know, to fill that role. But you're right. I mean, maybe that's – but, you know, it would be nice to have Ryan Switzer and be able to work with your third-round draft pick, you know, for something else. You know what I mean? It would be nice to have that freedom because you have Ryan Switzer on the team. And I think if you want to go all the way back, you know, it makes the original drafting of Ryan Switzer in 2017 – questionable because of the way everything unfolded. It was a weird domino.
Yeah, I remember. I remember when they made that when they drafted him. Like, wow, they got two like Cole Beasleys and mm-hmm. you know this kind of the cutout of each both players. It's the same type of built, the same type of receiver and everything. But lo and behold, they ended up trading him. So right. I guess the Cowboys knew. I mean, there's always. everything when you draft someone that, that low, those type of players are disposable. And I think that they just kind of wanted to wait and see. And they felt like, hey, this is the best value we're going to get for them. We get to move on and, be able to work something in with some other players.
That's fair. I mean, it might have been messy, but if it was what they wanted, then that's ultimately what matters the most. That's a fair way to put it. The last trade, obviously the most recent trade that the Cowboys made, right as they entered the bye week after they hit the goalpost in Washington, Tony, you kind of called it right before. Everybody knows the Cowboys traded a first-round draft pick to the Oakland Raiders as well. Think about that. Goodness gracious, all the trades with the Raiders that we're talking about here. Not even the first trade between the Raiders and Cowboys that involved a wide receiver, over the whole course of the season. But they landed Amari Cooper. He turned into a Pro Bowler for them, was spectacular. Everybody knows, helped them win a lot of games, helped them win a playoff game. I mean, this is definitely an A+, right? I mean, there's no way of
without a doubt. I think when you look back at the Cowboys, the history of trades that they've made, I mean, this one right here, the way it kind of unveiled or unfolded latter part of the season, I mean, it's a home run. Think about it. I mean, they got their first round draft pick for, as a receiver that they didn't get in last year's draft. So this is totally, totally something that they needed to ignite their offense. And I mean, they did it over the bye week, and 2 weeks later caught his first, I believe was it not the first game or second game, it was the first game he caught a touchdown pass. So I mean, you couldn't ask for a better situation with that type of trade, and really, really something that the Cowboys needed at the time.
You're right. I mean, obviously the Herschel Walker trade is its own thing, but
I was thinking of that.
Yeah, but
that was epic.
It was, and that's it's that can't be touched. But this really is one of the best trades in the history of the Dallas Cowboys. Not number one, not number two, but I mean, it's in that neighborhood at the very least because it was
just the timing of it. Just like it was just so perfect.
Oh, it was. I mean, and that, you mentioned that Titans game. That was a disaster. And the week after was really, that was a low point. The 3-5, with the gauntlet that was coming up. And then stupid RJ and Tony were like, they're going to lose all these games, whatever. But, I mean, you mentioned
we weren't the only stupid guys.
That's right. You mentioned it, though. He did change their sort of fundamental approach offensively because they no longer needed this X, this Y, and this Z. I mean, they mm-hmm. suddenly had all sorts of creativity. They had guys who can move around. Amari, he helped Zeke. I mean, he helped Dak. I mean, that's the biggest thing to me. Amari Cooper made Dak Prescott better, and that's the most important thing. That's the most important position in the game, in sports, and Amari helps him be better. And for that reason, I mean, A+ feels so low. And I know we can't go higher than that, but Amari was spectacular. And I mean, was there a little bit of luck involved? Sure, because there was even, the NFL Network was re-airing on Monday morning the Cowboys' home win against the Eagles that went to overtime. And even that game, the game-winning touchdown, it's luck. I mean, there's a tip ball that Amari takes to the house, and scores on. But in football, luck counts, I mean,
I always think good luck happens to good teams. I mean, think about it. It very seldom happens to a team that's really struggling or – just has this, is playing in this funk. But you know what? We give him an A+. But not only that, just think about all the energy added to the whole franchise, to that team, because, the defense was balling. The offense couldn't – they were – no identity. They, they were just searching and couldn't score any points, any big plays. And then what this cat did was just interject all this excitement, all this energy, all this confidence. You can't put a value on that. I mean, that's the intangible things that you're able to provide, and that was amazing.
That's well said, actually, about the confidence that he provided in a lot of ways, because there's a swagger to Amari Cooper in a silent way and in a in one way, that's even more swagged out. You know what I mean?
I love, like, the silent killers.
Yeah, like, exactly. This dude, he doesn't need to talk. Exactly. Doesn't need to do anything. He's just going to show up and he's going to beat you, and then he's going to be quiet about it. I mean, that's really great. And then, I mean, you know, Amari is this compact personality that doesn't, mm-hmm. you know, doesn't tweet, doesn't, you know, do any of this. He just wants to ball, and that's a really awesome thing. But the biggest moment maybe for Amari, and it's hard to pick, but might have been that game against the Eagles, and it might not have been even something that happened on the field. After the game, he talked about how on his 75-yard touchdown, when they broke the huddle and Dak called the play, he was frustrated. And he wasn't frustrated in a defiant way, but he was frustrated in a intelligent way, in a way of, look, I can't believe we're going to do this again because they're sitting on it. They're waiting on it. I mean, this is ridiculous. And I admire that, you know, sort of gumption to voice that. I mean, because not everybody would voice that so new on the team, whatever. And the most impressive part about that was that Dak Prescott listened to him, made the change that he needed to. They scored a 75-yard touchdown. They won the game. I mean, that you're right. You cannot put a price or a value on what that brings to your team.
Yeah, I mean, you really can't. And when it comes from a guy that really just cares about the game, cares about, has a lot of pride in what he does, and you know, the short time he's been here, I mean, he just seems like he's – the thing about it also is the way he fit in with his team. Right. And maybe a lot of that has to do with just his professionalism and his adaptation to the – to, you know, the offense and everything else. And that's hard to – you know, it's difficult to go to a new team and all of a sudden you're just fitting in. And so I think there was this mess between them, but was able to enough to feel good about and confident, like go to his quarterback. So I haven't only been here – haven't been here a long time, but you know what? You just by the experience of watching him play with Oakland and while I was here, had enough confidence in him to go ahead and, you know, whatever, audible it off and change the route or whatever they needed to do. And there goes the confidence between those two guys.
How hard is that, you know, when you're balancing egos and personalities? You know, I think the best, you know, equator here is Charles Haley. You know, somebody who, you know, when he enters the locker room, everybody knows, okay, this guy's been there. He's done it. I mean, he's seen some things and done some things that we haven't at the time. Amari was a high pedigree guy, you know, and certainly had the resume coming from Alabama and whatever. I mean, I don't know that, you know, anybody would be vocal like that. But when somebody is, when Charles Haley was, I mean, is there this sense of, hey, you know, he hasn't been in our locker room for that long? Or is this sense of, okay, you know, this guy knows what he's talking about. Let's all listen to him.
It's all, let's just wait and see what happens on Sunday. You know, you go through all this preparation, you go through the week, and everyone, you know, we all want to get to Sunday, but then there's this process, game plan, everything else that goes on with different individuals. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, it's like any job. And I think, you know, for any player that wants, that's passionate, that has his voice, you know, that's fine, but you can do that. But on Sunday, let's just get to Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when everything starts to come together. And you're like, okay, I'll endure what he has to say during a week. If he's a little outspoken and just catches me at a bad moment during the week, and, you know, I'll deal with that. But, you know, when you get to the game Sunday and that dude's out there balling, then all the respect comes back, because there's this, you know, there's this this saying, you know, back it up, you know, walk the walk and talk the talk, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, that's, I think everyone senses that. And I think for Amari Cooper, it's the same thing. Except, you know, when you talk about Charles Haley, it's totally different.
Right, type
of personality, anything. But yeah, it's still the same thing. It's all about respect. It's all about, you know what, you can say whatever you want in a constructive way, not a personal way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some guys that do, i.e. social media and everything else and everything like that. But yeah, I think it's like, okay, let's get to Sunday, and then this is judgment day. This is when we judge whatever you said and whatever you want to bring and whatever you need to make this whole thing successful, and that's winning. The platform's yours.
I think that's easy to understand. I think that's fair to expect. And I think Amari Cooper certainly did that. So we agree, A+. What would you grade, Tony, their overall, you know, just sort of ability to trade? Because we got some duds, you know, in the group, and we've got one diamond in Amari Cooper. I mean, I think overall for me, I think it's a B, you know, because Amari lifts all that up. Maybe a B plus, he lifts it up that much, you know, but that is one of the four trades we're talking about. So you're talking 25% are perfect, you know, but 50% are, you know, so-so, whatever. And then the other quarter is kind of, we talked about Ryan Switzer, and that's a little difficult to evaluate totally, but that one's not that great. So overall, I think maybe B plus for me.
If it hadn't been for the Tavon, if Tavon would have made, a bigger contribution this year, I would say, hey, I'll give him an A plus. But I'm kind of like you. I still want to give him an A minus because of this Amari Cooper trade.
Yeah,
because
let's
face it, collectively, I mean, without Amari Cooper, without that trade, who knows what the Cowboys' record would have been this year?
Mm.
I guarantee it. I think we'd all be saying the same thing. I don't think the Cowboys would have made the postseason play. And I'm just going like what we saw prior to the Amari Cooper. So it's what makes me want to give the Cowboys an A minus, just because strictly alone. Mm-hmm. The Amari Cooper trade stands alone, and that's where it's really, really the value is.
That's fair. I mean, his impact can't be measured, as we said. He saved a lot of jobs because if Amari's not traded for, I think that Scott Linehan is not the only person that the Cowboys move on from, just because you're right, things probably go really south, and at that point, it's unavoidable. But it'll be really cool to see.
Speaking of Scott Linehan, and not to interrupt you, the AAF, isn't his son playing quarterback for the Arizona team?
No, it's he's on the Salt Lake Stallions.
Okay.
But he is. Matt Linehan is indeed in the Alliance. So
quarterback, correct?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Anyway, I thought that's a little nugget there. You know,
yeah.
Scott Linehan.
Oh, it's cool. I mean, maybe he'll throw for 6,000 yards. I mean, who knows? we'll have to see. But we'll be back later on this week, Tony, to keep chopping things up. It is the off season, but the 750 rolls on.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy your Narcos. I'm gonna watch Creed 2 at some point, and so we'll have a book club meeting about it.
Well, let me know. And then, by the way, the Oscars are this week.
Ooh, we can get into some Oscar talk later this week.
We'll
definitely get into the Oscars because I know we have some thoughts. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week. We'll talk to you later on throughout it. This was the 750.